Welcome to the new year. That's to everyone who didn't make it to last Sunday. And some of the colleges are back. Any students in the house? College students? You early arrivals and overachievers. We love you. We love everyone. As was mentioned earlier, we just completed a week of prayer fasting. We started with a night of worship last Sunday, concluded with some wonderful worship last night, prayed each evening, prayed for people to be saved and healed, and for our hearts to do that in the community. And this year, as Sue and I were having a conversation and talking about what we felt the Lord telling us to fast from, Sue said to me, "I have one request of you." And I said, "Okay." And she said, "Don't be a grouch when you fast this year." Didn't you? Yeah, so, self-awareness. In the past, evidently, I was much like some Pharisees who would make a show of fasting and draw attention to it, and was a grump and a grouch. And so at the end of this fast, I said, "Hey, babe, how am I doing?" And she said, it was better. So there's still room to grow. Whatever you fasted of, thanks for participating. Thanks for being a part of our prayer times. And in the future, when you fast, don't be a grump. That's like those little sayings that you read there by the bathroom, whatever. Okay. Today, we are continuing in a series that will take us through the month. And the series is focusing on the third part of our mission statement. Our mission statement is to love and to grow and to go. I could do the Y. Okay. And so as we go out, we're going to have multiple encouragements. Gordon's going to speak next week. Mike Souter the following week. We're going to encourage the body and one another to go out with the good news of the gospel. And so today's opening message is called Powerful Witnesses. And so I looked and looked for humor regarding fasting. Couldn't find it really. So I found some humor regarding witnessing. So I want you to listen to this one. During a long plane ride, a Christian and an atheist were sitting together. Yeah. The atheist noticed that the Christian man was reading his Bible. So the atheist taunted him. "You really believe the stories in that book? How do you think Jonah survived 3 nights inside of a fish?" The Christian responded, "I don't know, but when I go to heaven, I'll ask Jonah." The atheist fired back, "And what if Jonah goes to hell?" And the Christian smiled and gently replied, "Well, then you ask him." Okay, some of us don't even feel good laughing about that. I don't know that we should. All right, so we started the first Sunday of this month with a message that I shared encouraging us to press on, to keep on. It's natural to grow weary. It's natural to become faint. It's normal to want to give up. But we encouraged one another to press on, to keep on, to take the next step, to ask and keep asking, and to knock and keep knocking, and to seek and keep seeking, right? And I challenged you and I said, fine with New Year's resolutions, but what we really want to do is to give ourselves to something significant, value, and successful, and that is to live our lives fulfilling the calling and the purpose for which we were created. Yeah? And so I was encouraging us to go after that this year. And if resolutions are your thing, make fulfilling the purpose that God has called us to as a body and you individually, make that your resolution every year. There's your running resolution. What God wants is what we want to give ourselves to, not just self-improvement. So as I reflect over the last few years, we've received this vision here on the screen. We have a mission to love big, grow deep, and go out. And our vision is to see thousands saved, healed, and passionately following Jesus. And as I've reflected over that mission and vision, I feel really blessed at the progress we've made in the 2 years since we received this and have begun pursuing it. We've seen a remarkable harvest financially. We have had financial provision to do a number of things and to be remarkably, wonderfully generous to people in need and to missions and to outreach. And we'll highlight some of that in future weeks. We've had the blessing of the awesome presence of God in our corporate worship times, many, many Sundays as we've gathered, and other nights when we've gathered outside of that. We've seen numerous people get saved. We've seen numerous people get freed and healed from hurts and bondages through various ministries in the church, our Love After Marriage ministry, our prayer ministry, transformational prayer ministry, formerly Theophostics. We've seen people healed and delivered through our ministry time up front on Sunday mornings, as well as our monthly one on Monday nights. And we've grown even more multi-generational than we were years ago. And so kudos to you who are having all the babies. Thumbs up. And while they were having a bunch of babies that were adding youthfulness to us, some of the rest of us have been growing older and adding to that end of the scale. Some of us. And so we are a wonderful representation of this community in terms of our youthfulness and our seniorness. I think I just coined a word. So as we reflect on God's goodness and blessing in these areas, I want to acknowledge that we're not finished with the race yet. We're pressing on. We aren't satisfied to remain where we are on any of these fronts. So we'll continue to sow seeds financially of generosity and worship and missions and prayer, investing in our children and youth. But one area that we're not seeing the kind of harvest we want to see is in outreach and evangelism. We're not seeing people saved nearly as frequently as we desire and not as frequently as the Lord desires. And so why not? Well, whenever we don't see breakthrough or progress in an area, the right response is to always be prayerful. And so this past week, that was the focus and the whole emphasis of our prayer time. So as we fasted and prayed this last week, we were praying into our vision to see more people saved, more people healed. So prayer was one of our responses to not seeing the fruit that we desire. I'm not exactly sure why we're not seeing more fruit, but I do think one part of the puzzle is this. We're not sowing enough seed of evangelism. Let me explain a little bit. There's a consistent kingdom principle about sowing and reaping that we see at work, and I referenced it last week in my message. It's always true, and we tend to accept it when we see the fruit that we desire. In the Galatians passage, it says, God will not be mocked, a man reaps what he sows. In the 2 Corinthians 9 passage, it says, those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly, and those who sow generously will reap generously. So if we want to see more fruit in this area of souls coming to salvation, we need to be more generous in sowing seeds. Okay? So again, why don't we see the fruit that we want and are looking for? I think when we don't see it, we tend to look for answers in obscure places rather than some of the obvious ones. And so I want us to take a good look at ourselves. Here's what I feel like is my answer to why not more fruit. One, my question is, am I sowing any seeds of evangelism? Am I being a witness? Secondly, am I sowing enough seeds of the good news? Am I doing it daily, weekly, all through the month? Thirdly, am I sowing bad seeds? None of us really want to look there, but if we do some honest evaluation, am I sowing seeds of selfishness and pride instead of humbly loving other people? Now, in talking, I don't want to make anyone feel guilt or condemnation. That doesn't bring life. I just want us to honestly review what is it that we're doing with this gift of salvation that we've called to be witnesses to. I am so aware that there is nothing in me and nothing in us that is able to save and heal thousands. That vision is way beyond us. Only God can do that, and only God can do what he's called us to do. Here's some good news. God created us. He gives us breath. He loves us. He calls us. He forgives us. He saves us. He heals us. He transforms us. He fills us with his Holy Spirit. He empowers us. He loves us with an unfailing and an everlasting love. He does all of that, all of which none of us can do. But we do have one part, and that is to be a witness to what he has done in our lives. And so how well are we doing our part? While he's doing everything, how well are we witnessing to the amazing things he's doing? Again, I've already referenced Galatians 6 and 2 Corinthians 9, where there's this principle of sowing and reaping. Let's hold on to that. If we sow seeds of evangelism, outreach, and witnessing, and we do it generously, the promise is we will reap a fruitful harvest of new people into the kingdom of light. That's what God promises, and that's what he will do. Our lack of fruitfulness, I don't believe we can say, is a problem of not being clear about his commandments. Matthew 28, 16 through 20 briefly says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me," Jesus talking to his disciples, "therefore you go and make disciples of all nations." That is crystal clear. That's what we've been called to do. And another command, he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." That's another directive. And that's what we're going to read here in a moment in Acts 1. So it's not a lack of clarity, our unfruitfulness. And our lack of fruitfulness is not a question or a problem of timing or seasons. This is what Jesus was telling his disciples in John 4. He says, "I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. Look at the community. They are ripe for harvest." People are ready for the good news. That's Jesus' words. They're true. Matthew 9, he says it this way, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." So prayer, and we've been praying and we will continue to pray. We'll pray and keep praying and ask and keep asking. And as we're praying for God to send workers into this harvest field that is ripe and ready, we are part of the ones we're praying for. We're not praying for everyone else to go, yeah? We are part of the ones who will go. I think, quite honestly, the problem contributing to some of the lack of our fruitfulness in this seeing thousands saved is this. I think we are distracted and we're divided and we give our energy to less challenging areas. I think we're not staying focused on this mission that Jesus called us to, and he calls us to continue. I think we are intimidated at times to share. I think some of us fear other people more than we love God. We're not sowing seeds generously enough in the area of outreach. We must make sharing the good news a more central part of our weekly life and in our weekly corporate worship services. I personally must make sharing my faith with others who don't know him a priority. It's been too long since I've shared my faith with someone who doesn't know Jesus outside of these walls. We must be witnesses and keep sowing seeds of the good news. We must share good news and continue sowing good news daily. Keep doing it. Press on. We must make invitations to those who don't know Jesus and continue inviting them. We must not grow weary in doing this. Keep on, church. Let's take the next step and keep taking it. So with that introduction, I want us to turn in our Bibles to Acts 1. I'm going to read the first 8 verses. I've put the final verse I want us to really embrace on the screen. This is how it begins. I'm reading the New Living Translation. "In my first book," Luke is writing, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. He proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he has promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore your kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you that your word is always true. It's alive and it's active, and every word that you have spoken will be fulfilled. And so fulfill this word in our lives. Conform us to the truth of your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the disciples were waiting in Jerusalem in prayer as they were instructed, and they were waiting for a gift that Jesus commanded them to receive and wait for. And as they were anticipating and praying and waiting, it says they were asking Jesus. They kept asking him. There, that was an answer to scripture. They asked and they kept asking. They kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" See, I believe the disciples were anticipating that God was going to restore Israel as a nation, a powerful nation, and he was going to free them from oppression from the Roman Empire. That's what they were looking for. They were in Jerusalem and they're thinking, he's going to restore the nation of Israel, we'll break the chains of bondage and oppression that the Romans have over us, and we will be back on top. I think that's the way we think about things. A lot of people have that kind of nationalistic view of America. But here's what he said. He said, "I have a different priority and a different agenda." And he was giving them power to witness, to see people freed from spiritual bondage and spiritual oppression. It wasn't this, "I want to be free from Caesar and I want to be free from paying taxes." It was "I want to be free from the curse of sin and death." We sang that today. Sin's curse has lost its grip on me. Why? Jesus commands my destiny. We sang so much truth this morning. Embrace it. So Jesus had one agenda. They were seeing it a little differently. So I want to acknowledge, as we move on, that at times sharing our faith is difficult, but it's not optional, church. Being a witness is not just for super Christians, and it's not just for church staff who are paid to do it. Some of us are incredibly gifted and fruitful at sharing our faith and love with Jesus, and others of us really aren't. But we all want to be more fruitful. Yeah? Yeah, there's just one answer to this one. Yes. Or Jesus. One of the ways that we can overcome our weaknesses in this area is to rehearse God's word. And we've just done that this morning. Here's what I receive encouragement from God's word. First of all, we don't share our faith in our own power and in our own limitations. Isn't that good news? We're witnessing by the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Not our power, not our limitations. And we don't share out of pride to try and impress someone. And we don't share out of guilt so that we can measure up and be loved. We are loved. Witnesses, here's a really good one too. Witnesses don't argue, they don't browbeat, they don't hammer or force anyone to listen or believe. Witnesses honestly and clearly tell the truth. So we will be witnesses through the gift of the Holy Spirit and the power that he gives us. That is what God's word is reminding and encouraging us today. That is what Jesus promised. What does this power of the Holy Spirit look like? I thought about that for a while. I like the word. He will give you power. You can say that really low and strong. And so, you know, power is strong. And I do believe it involves strength. Let me contrast what it isn't. When he's talking about, I will give you power and you will be my witnesses, he's not talking about the Star Wars Force kind of power. I know you are all into that because you booed Mike off the stage the other week when he was talking about his disdain for the latest movie. See, the Star Wars Force power will move objects and will cause people to do things they don't want to do. That's not what being a witness is. That's not the kind of power we function in. I want to describe to you what I believe the power of the Holy Spirit is that he's talking about, and let's see if we recognize it. The power of the Holy Spirit looks like this. The power of the Holy Spirit is patient. So patient. Patient and kind. The power of the Holy Spirit is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. The power of the Holy Spirit does not demand its own way. The power of the Holy Spirit is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. The power of the Holy Spirit does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. The power of the Holy Spirit never gives up. Never lose faith. It's always hopeful, and it endures through every circumstance. You know what this is talking about, I hope. The power of the Holy Spirit is the amazing, great love of God. I want you to know, for any physicist, scientific people, here's what's true. Love is stronger than the universal power of gravity. And in my extensive reading last night, I learned that there's something more powerful than gravity, and it's electromagnetic power. And love's stronger. And then there's this even more powerful universal phenomenon, and it's nuclear power. And love is more nuclear than nuclear. How about that? Love is stronger. Love has the power to do anything. Love is stronger than all of these universal powers, and this is what Scripture says. Scripture says, nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing. In that earth below or the heavens above, nothing can separate us from God's love. Love has the power to overwhelm, to overcome, to penetrate every defense, every objection, every deception, every sin, and every hurt that people hold on to. If I powerfully moved mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I had the power to give thousands to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love them, I would have gained nothing. The power to be his witnesses that Jesus promises each of us is to tell the truth about the love God has for them and to demonstrate it to them by loving them. So love big is really important, right, church? Another way that we can overcome anxiety or these feelings of discouragement when it comes to being a witness and sharing our faith, we have God's word, we have obedience to God's word, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Another thing that we have that can encourage us is the power of testimony, the encouragement we receive from one another when we declare what God has done. And we're going to do that here in a minute in the area of salvation and witnessing. I want to give a healing testimony to give you an idea of this. So last year, about this time, I injured my shoulder somehow. I think it was basketball, I'm not sure. But through the year, I lost mobility and strength because I kept favoring it, and
I just had this pain where I could not move my left arm in multiple directions. And so came to prayer healing night a couple times and had prayer for it. And they didn't take it all the way. And so I went and did physical therapy. And in 6 weeks of physical therapy last fall, I got much of my mobility back and my range of motion, and I got some of my strength back. But I still had pain when I would move my arm in certain areas. And so I came to healing nights Monday night. We had the prayer and fasting time upstairs from 7 to 8, and then Sue and I came down, and we participated in the healing night that was here in the sanctuary. And I had two brothers pray for me over here. And when they prayed for me, I started to feel God's presence come on my body, and my shoulder got warm, and there was some tingling. And I was like, oh, yeah. And so I just want you to know that I don't have any pain when I move my arm now. Yeah. How awesome is that? And see, when one person shares God's goodness in that way, it stirs faith and encouragement that he can do that for this person. And many times we'll believe he can do it for other people. He loves you so much, his powerful strength is there, that he will even do it to you. Ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. Press on. So now, I want to invite three people from the church family here to come and be testimonies of the power of God in the area of reaching out and being a witness. So if Conrad and Jolie and Travis would come up, and you're going to be my distinguished panel, why don't you welcome them? All right, so I love these people. They've stayed to church for two services because of their love for you. Yeah. And because their pastor guilted them into it. I did not. All right, so as we get started, I want to start with a question that will help us all get to know you a little bit. So in this area of being a witness, I want each of you to share who witnessed to you, who introduced salvation to you, who sowed the seeds of the good news in your life. And ladies are first. Jalee.
My parents and grandparents would have been who taught me and encouraged me all of my life. And then in middle school, there was some pretty bad bullying. And I remember a lot of nights where my youth pastor would just sit there and pray and talk with me, and learned a lot about the heart of God through just the brokenness that I was experiencing. And then through high school, through the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, would have been how I really learned to take my faith and make it something that wasn't just for myself, but that could be exercised in the presence of other people as well.
Awesome. Conrad, how did you come to faith?
Like what you were saying, the seeds were sown by my parents in the Philippines. Salvation, the seeds of salvation, evangelism, faith. I saw that in my parents we were growing up. There were five siblings at that time during World War II in the Philippines, where the bombs were falling, American and Japanese planes fighting. My parents were evangelizing the neighborhood because they were all in the air raid shelter, and they were praying for them. They were all scared, but that was the point of their need, and most of them accepted the Lord. And speaking of being bold, when my parents received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in 1956 in an Assemblies of God church, they were Methodist past missionaries, but after that they left their business and they went and planted churches all over the slum areas of Manila and suburbs and outside Manila.
Okay. Thank you. So kudos to parents for sowing the seeds of salvation in their children. That gives us some inspiration and encouragement, parents. All right, Travis, you have a different story.
Yeah, so I was witness to 11 years ago, back in 2005. At the time, I was suffering from a drug addiction for 7 years of methamphetamines. And in 2005, two major life things happened to me. One, I found out that I was having a baby. And the second one, my dad, stepfather died of a massive heart attack, which really rocked me because he was that rock, he was that inspiration, he was that wisdom in my life up to that point. And for him being gone, it really just really gave me a different outlook on life. And that's when my roommate, my friend at the time, and now my brother-in-law, I asked him, I said, hey, I need to change my life around. He says, well, my dad's a pastor. I said, you've been doing drugs with me this whole time, and your dad's a pastor? So anyways, his dad came over that night, and he's saved. He's in the church. He goes to Grace Covenant Church, so we're all good. So, that night, the pastor, his dad, came over to our house. He prayed for his mom. My mom, and then he came out and prayed with me and asked me if I knew this Jesus and if I would like a relationship with him. And it was that night I accepted Christ in my heart, and I was immediately redeemed and never had the addiction of methamphetamines in my life again. So
yeah, come on. Hey, God. All right, so before I get to this next question, as I was reading some of the responses that you all prepared for, Conrad shared a story that really blessed me. So you've been, over the last 27 years, you've been doing short-term medical mission outreaches all around the world. That's just awesome. Yeah. And I honor you for that. Thank you. You've taken Acts 1:8 literally. You've gone to the uttermost parts of the world. And so you'll get to talk. And so what I want you to do is share this testimony of a medical outreach that you all did in Kenya several years ago, because it is wonderful. I got to get my clicker.
This happened in September 11, 2011. I was with Dr. Mark Bradshaw and Jackie, she's a nurse, with John Clark and Ruthie Clark and the Kisamwas. Okay. The gentleman I found out later on was the Somali chief carrying this very sick baby. When we examined the baby was dehydrated with sunken eyeballs, temperature of 104, dry skin, sunken fontanelles. He's about less than 2 years old. And when we opened the blanket, we found out that there was a rectal prolapse. That means part of the rectum is sticking out about this much. Wow. I showed him the picture, but he doesn't want to show it. and so he said, we need to give you antibiotics, something for fever, but you have to go to Mombasa for emergency surgery. This has been going on for the past 2 weeks. They've been going to a witch doctor, and the witch doctor referred the patient to us because he cannot cure it. Anyway, so we said, before you go, we would like to pray to Jesus. So I showed him a picture of Jesus over the surgeon that's hanging in my office all the time. I said, I don't believe in Jesus, I'm a Muslim. But we said, well, we believe in Jesus, so we'll pray. So we did pray, and then he was mad and upset, and he left. But 12 hours later, he came back, and I thought the baby died because he was carrying like hair like that. Mm-hmm. And then we opened the blanket, and lo and behold, God did a miracle. Yeah. It went up, it went back, and it's normal. And again, I showed you the picture of the
baby. He did. He's very literal. He's a physician. He's very precise.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready to show those pictures in church.
And so the fact that he came back, I knew he believed in the miracle. And so he invited the team to go to Somalia border, because the clinic that was built in memory of my parents was about 20 miles from Somalia. And the name of that clinic is God's Covenant of Grace. And so we went, we drove for a few miles and then walked for several miles. And that said no man's land. That's the first time they ever admitted any foreigner. And so they got the chief and the children and the women gathered around us. They gave us the seat of honor with logs. And they, I forgot to tell this, but can I say it?
Sure.
You know, one of the elders asked me, why are you here? And then before that, I was warned that you should never mention the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so, because they might have never get out of there. So I was convicted later on. But so I said, we came here because of the love of God and the American people. I did not say Jesus because I was scared. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I was convicted by the Holy Spirit that night. Mm-hmm. I cried. I said, Jesus, I denied you. I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. After I saw that miracle that happened, I denied you just like Peter. Mm-hmm. And so that night I had a dream. I dreamt that I was captured by the Somalis and they're going to cut off my head.
Yeah.
And I said, before you cut off my head, I want to proclaim Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so I woke up, and then I felt so good. I knew that God forgave me.
Yeah, amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen, amen. All right. Okay, I have this next question, which I presented to all three of you. And the question is, do you ever feel nervous, anxious, or fearful when you're talking to people about your faith? And when I posed that question to Travis, he said,
no, I don't.
And when I asked Conrad, he was like,
I don't.
Yeah. And so I was grateful that Jolie's response was more like mine. So Jolie, would you please share now? What do you do? How does that work?
Yeah, when I know that the Holy Spirit is really active, I feel this really deep thud in my chest. Like my heart starts beating. It's kind of like climbing up the high dive and you're climbing up the ladder and you look down. At that point, it's too hard to go back down the ladder, so you know you just better jump. And it's a good thing to jump, but it's kind of terrifying at the same time. And so it's been a process of being obedient in the small things, I think, as well. And then God really shows the fruit of being obedient people are encouraged and they do thank you. But my encouragement, too, would just to do the little things and to be obedient in the small things, because when the big things do come, then you have the courage and the love of God that compels you to do those things.
All right. Travis, since you don't fear, what encouragement would you give us?
Well, you know, I told First Service, if you had an extra pair of Redskin playoff tickets today and you were giving them away, you would be really excited about that. And you would go all over Facebook and you would call all your friends and you would tell them about these free tickets you have. And no, I'm not promoting that you go out and you start, you know, spreading the gospel like that over Facebook and calling everybody. But what I am saying that if you were as passionate and as excited about those free tickets you had in your hands as you were about spreading the news of Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross that paid the penalties for our sin, who saved me, who given me my life back and redeemed me, if you were that excited and passionate about sharing the gospel, what could he do? And, you know, I look at us as the extended hand of God, the one that are doorways to share the message with other people. And we are the ones that open the door. We are the ones that say exactly what Jesus has done in our life. And it's up to them to walk through it. It's up to them to receive that message. And I guess my entrepreneur's, you know, mind comes out, you know, if I was to share the message 100 times and only one came to know the Lord, it's all worth it. The 99 we're not in control of. So we got to take the pressure off of us as we're out there, we're sharing the message with other people, like we're in control of this situation. We're not in control. The only thing we're in control of is opening the door and sharing the message.
Yeah, amen. So I also had a question of, have you ever had a disastrous experience sharing your faith? And Jolie, share one for us.
So this summer I worked at Renew Camp, which was a blessing to anyone that was also there. Woo-hoo, Renew. Yeah, I see you. And and the last day in worship, the Lord really laid my grandmother, who is Jewish. I think she's kind of Jewish / I don't know. She's in her own universe. And she really was heavy on my heart, and I pray for her every day that she will just know the Lord. And so during that worship service, I ran out because the Holy Spirit was beating my heart. And I knew that I had to call her right then and tell her the gospel. And it had been years that I was like, oh, I could tell her and call her. But I was convicted right then. So I ran out and I called her. And I was kind of hoping that she wouldn't answer, but I was like, no, she needs to answer. And she answered, and I just started sobbing, too. I remember the poor in spirit. That really touched me this morning. And knowing that I had to humble myself, too, before I came and shared this with her. And so I shared some mumbled version of the gospel and just said that she loved so well and encouraged so well. And I wanted to see her do that in the name of Jesus. And I didn't want to walk through the world without her. And I wanted her to know the love of Jesus. And she says, oh, honey, that's so nice. I'm not going anywhere. And I was like, no, okay. And so she was not taken. She's like, you're going to make me cry. And so now, I mean, in hindsight, I know that it wasn't a completely disastrous experience. The word does not return void, and I pray that seeds are planted in that. But in that moment, I was hoping that she would receive the Lord Jesus right there and repent of her sin, and everything would be great. But it was a learning experience.
All right. I want to have another question for each of you, and Conrad, you go first. In the spirit of our testimony times that we have periodically in our worship, we ask for testimonies that are God glorifying, that are concise, and that are current. So share a current seed planting testimony from Christmas break.
Well, it's current, but I've been sowing seeds to this Jewish couple. A Jewish surgeon and his wife. So I invited his wife to go to the Philippines with me, and can you hear me?
Yeah.
And she agreed. Mm-hmm. And so I said, would you like to come to our homes for orientation for the Philippines? I see the two, three of you, you were there too. Anyway, so I found out that to talk to him, he's very intellectual. So we started saying, oh, I said, Happy Hanukkah. And he said, oh, Merry Christmas. So I said, what is the meaning of Hanukkah? And so he told me about that. He said, the Hanukkah means the festival of lights. And it's 8 days, I said, also in our church, we have this Advent candle lighting. So we have the same thing, I said. And then he said, you know how Hanukkah came about? I said, no. He said, Judas of Maccabee claimed back the temple in 164 BC, they were supposed to light the menorah for 8 days, but they only have 1 day of oil. So they prayed, and then they had enough oil to light the candles for 8 days. That's why they had 8 days of celebration. Mm-hmm. So I listened, and then I said, do you know, being a doctor, do you know that our medical symbol, you know, the stuff with the snake entwined around it, dates back at the time of Moses? He said, no, I didn't know that. I thought it was introduced by the Greeks, Aesculapius. I said, no, so look at Numbers 24. Mm-hmm. So we opened Numbers 24. Mm-hmm. And then God allowed the snakes, the vipers, to bite the disobedient children of Israel. And some of them died. And then God told Moses, raise up a brown snake with a pole. Mm-hmm. And whoever looks at it will be saved, will be healed. And so I said, that became the symbol of medicine. Mm-hmm. And so I opened also John 3:14. Mm-hmm. And it says there, as Moses lifted up the Son of Man, as Moses lifted the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man will be lifted up. I said, that is Jesus being proclaimed.
Amen. Yeah.
And so I thought he will get upset with that, but his wife came back on Christmas and gave my wife the devotions for Christmas, authored by Christians. Mm-hmm. And then my wife in turn gave her a New Testament with Psalms and Proverbs, because I've been asking her to read Psalm 91 because she was scared to go to the Philippines for security. I said, just read Psalm 91.
So you're continuing to plant seeds with this Jewish couple.
Yes, sir.
And she's going to be going on the trip with you.
Yes, she's awesome. Going. And I told her, I said, this is a Christian medical mission. I said, the purpose of this mission is really to evangelize people to Christ for salvation. And the secondary is just surgical mission. I said, we have to pray all the time, and we have to say the name of Jesus. She said it doesn't bother her.
Okay. All
right. So let's pray that she will come to know the Lord.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. You can clap. All right, Travis, give us a recent over Christmas break story.
Our story, Corey and I's story, we've shared 1,000 times. And we always get the opportunity when meeting new friends and out in the holidays. And we had those this time. And it's just another story of God's redemption in our life. Not only has he redeemed me of an addiction, but you guys probably don't know this, but Briley, my oldest, which is 10 years old, is not Corey's biological daughter. We got married when she was 12 months old, but it's been a true testament of what God can do in our lives, and the love that they have for one another is unmatched. And not only the love that they have for one another, it's the love that we have and the relationship that we have between Laura and I, Briley's mother, and Corey and Laura. And it's just what was supposed to be divided, God has brought together and worked together. And we all get along. We can show up to each other's houses. We work together to do what's right for Briley. And it's just been a true testament of God. And it's always good when we're out, especially during Christmas time, to show something that was meant for darkness, to show what God's light had done by coming in and working out that situation in our life.
Amen. Amen. Jalee.
Yeah, I'm going to share my second story
this time. Sure, sure.
Over Christmas break, one of my good friends that I've run with all through, he's one of my coaches, just kept coming back to my mind as well all over break. And so on Christmas Eve, I had talked to my parents. I said, Corey's working at Toys R Us. Like, can we just go? And so that night after church, it was 8, 9 o'clock the night before Christmas, and we just went and brought him chocolates and threw balls at him through Toys R Us. And it was just, it was such a gift to us, but to know that that was a demonstration of God's love for him and his family when he's trying to just make extra money around the holidays, to go out of our plans and our schedules. And it was kind of hard for me to pull my family sometimes too. Like, oh, let's not go home or wrap presents. Let's go out. And then they were fired up after that. They were ready to go. And so it was time to go home after that.
All right. Good story. Thanks for sharing that encouragement. So, Karen, why don't you come up? To summarize, God is calling all of us to be his witnesses. He says, you will receive power, his love. We will receive his love and more of his love to be witnesses everywhere. And so thank you, Conrad, Julie, and Travis, for encouraging us through testimony. We received encouragement through God's word. We received encouragement to obey God's word. And now, rather than just hear their stories, I've asked them to stay on the stage. And I want to make an invitation that we would not only be inspired and have faith by their stories, but that they would impart to us the heart and the courage and the faith that they have to share their faith with one another. So this is an invitation for all of us. If anyone is here today who desires to be less anxious, less fearful, more courageous, more willing to step out in faith in the opportunities that God gives, then just stand up, and I'm going to ask them to stand up and pray for all of us who are standing. So if you want to be more fruitful witnesses, then stand, and I've asked these three to pray for us right now.
God, we thank you. We thank you for the message today and the mission that Grace Covenant Church has given us to go out and to see thousands saved, God. But we can't do that alone. We can only do it as a body and with your help, God. So I ask that you rain down on every single person that's here that has the want and the desire to share you more, God. Give them the boldness, the words that come out their mouth to really represent what it is you are about, God. God, give them every tool that's needed. Give them the message that you have for them to be able to share everything you want them to share, God. God, I thank you that we're the vessels that you use us to open those doors, God. And I just pray that every single person, as they go out this door today, that they have the power and have the boldness to open the door to share the message when the time is right, God. And God, I pray that everyone that opens the door, that the blessing, that those that are hearing the message walk through it, God. And that they come to know what truly only you can do. God, we thank you that you have called us to this great mission, God. And God, I just hope that each and every one of us can answer the call. We ask this in your mighty name, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you that you did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. And we thank you that perfect love drives out all fear, that it would compel us in the way of your gospel. So I pray that you would give us time to learn more about your heart, that we may not have any other response but to go forth and to go out and to proclaim your name. Make your love the overflow of our heart, Lord. Let it not be what we're comfortable with, but with what you're worthy of. That's the word that I have, Lord, that it's not what we're comfortable with, but what are you worthy of in our worship and in our lives and our time and our resources. So give us a fresh understanding of what that means, of what you are worthy of. And I pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts to see those around us in a different way, to see you in each of them, that we may love them more fully and with your heart, God. I pray that you would remove any inhibitions in us that tell us that we failed before or that we're not good enough, but I pray that you would enable us through the power of your Holy Spirit to speak truth also in love and grace, and that your light would shine through us, through words, through actions, and that it would be easy, Lord. I pray that blessing, that it would not be something that's hard and strenuous, but you make it easy, Lord. You're a good Father who gives good gifts, and we praise you for that, that we don't have to work for the gifts, but that you bring them because we're your children and you love us.
Lord, we claim your promise in Acts 1:8 that when we receive your power, the Holy Spirit power, we'll be bold to share the gospel of your gospel, your salvation, starting with our family and our neighbors and outside the city and throughout the world, and to go out. Lord, we also claim your promise in Isaiah 55:11, that you will send your word and it will not return to you empty. It will accomplish for what you sent it for. So Lord, let this be a reminder for us that when we speak your word, we are speaking you, because you are the word.
Yeah.
In the beginning was the word, and the word was God. And the word will not return to you void. So Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for using imperfect people, the 12 disciples, including me. And then the 12 disciples turned the world upside down because of the power of your Holy Spirit. So we ask, Lord, that you will empower our congregation right now as they stand, that you will touch them, and Lord, with your Holy Spirit, and give them boldness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, as we close, I've asked these three to do something. They're going to go off to this side of the stage and stand, so y'all can go do that now. And I've asked the ministry team to come up right now. Just come up front, ministry team. So if you would like, the Holy Spirit gives all kinds of gifts. He gives gifts of faith, of discernment, of healing, of faith, of tongues. And he gives the gift of evangelism. And if you would like the gift of evangelism that these three carry and walk in, then I believe that God will honor that. So come to them if you want to be more fruitful and receive the gift of evangelism. If there's anyone here today who's been hearing us talk about life and salvation in Christ, and you want to receive salvation, come to anybody up here, and they will pray with you and walk with you to become children of God today. If you need prayer for anything else, healing, anything going on in your life at home, at school, and work, then our ministry team here would love to pray for you. Let me give us a benediction. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have made us your witnesses. You've sent the Holy Spirit. You've poured the Holy Spirit out on us, and you have given us the power of the Holy Spirit. You have given us your love. You have shown us amazing, unearned, unmerited love. And I pray you would take all the things that were shared this morning and send us out with hearts that are overflowing with gratitude, and we would share what you have done in our lives with everyone we meet as you prompt us to. So send us out full of your Holy Spirit, full of your powerful love this week. Give us opportunities every day, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed to go, and you're invited to come forward for prayer for anything, to receive salvation, and for the gift of evangelism over here on the side.